Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. Here's just a taste of what's coming up soon.
And I never saw it happen, but they tell me that every now and then, the body of the decapitated chicken would get away from the chef and take off running around the yard. Now, I'm just going to say this just as plain as I can. If Jesus Christ tells you to go right, you go left, you're a headless chicken. The challenge. Men like a challenge, right? Yeah! Give me a challenge! What is the challenge? Are you raising your kids as Christians? Are you treating your wife right? Oh, this is some straight preaching. We're chowing on some steak now. Pass the steak sauce. Why is it that children of drug abusers grow up to be drug abusers? Why is it that children of alcoholics grow up to be alcoholics? Why is it that children of abusers grow up to be abusers? We emulate what we see. It's time for the cycle to be broken. It's time for the redemption of God to bring a change. You say, I don't know if I have it in me. I know you don't have it in you. The good news is, it's all in Him. He has it in Him. If you get in Him, you get it in you.
All of that and more comes from the preaching that was delivered to our church on May 17 of 2009. In last week's broadcast, we brought you part one, and in this week's broadcast, we are able to bring you the conclusion of this message entitled, I Know That I Know. In the event you were unable to catch last week's broadcast, you can go to our website and download part one of the message. The web address is cac.us.com. And now, let's roll the tape.
Let me say that again. We're all as a family sitting together at the table. Amen. America doesn't do that anymore, but America's making a mistake. We're all sitting together at the family table, and the kids are eating good food, and they're singing our praises, and their tummies are full, and they're feeling good. That's the time to teach them about God. That's the time. See, our problem is we want to talk to the kid at Sunday school, as a Sunday school teacher to a child, when his tummy is empty and he's grumpy and frustrated. No. I'm not saying we need to cancel Sunday school, but there's got to be more to it than that. Take that child home, fix him a delicious meal, fill his belly, and when he's sitting there feeling good, tell him about God. Tell him what the Bible says. Teach him what he needs to know. You say, well, what do I teach him? Well, what do you believe? Oh, now this is the problem. If you don't know what you believe, you can't tell your family what you believe. At some point, you got to make up your mind where you stand. You got to, oh, here it is. If you don't get your head in the book, you can't tell anybody else what's in the book. We got to be a people of the Word. We got to be people of the Bible. You say, what do you talk about? Let the Lord lead you. Study the Bible and let the Lord lead you. Amen. Now, if you can't do it without some kind of pre-printed catechism, then go get some kind of pre-printed catechism. Anything would be better than nothing. Just for heaven's sake, get an apostolic Pentecostal catechism. Yeah. And would you believe that today I told the children what the Bible says about powers and principalities and governments, and about paying taxes? What does that have to do with Christianity? It's in the Bible. I'll tell you what made me think of that, because I taught on that, and then tonight the Lord leads me to Ephesians 1, which says this, talking about Jesus Christ and where He is, and where we in heaven, in a mystical heavenly way, spiritual way, where we are seated with Him. It tells us where that is in relation to these things. Verse 21 tells us, says it's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You know what? The American government is powerful, but Jesus is above the American government. The state government, it has a lot of power, but Jesus is far above the state government. And we are seated with Him in heavenly places. He is above all principality. He's above all power. He's far above all might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then speaking of God, with regard to the humanity of Jesus, verse 22 says, and hath put all things under His feet. That is, the Spirit of God has put all things under the feet of the humanity of God. The man, Christ Jesus. Here it is. And gave Him. Without Jesus, the church would be a headless beast. But we're not headless, unless you just won't listen to the head, in which case you are headless. Somebody said, we're just running around here like headless chickens. Do y'all ever know what that saying comes from? I know you children don't know. If you ask kids today, where does milk come from? They say, the store. If you ask them, say, where does chicken come from? The store or the restaurant? Let me tell you something. My mama grew up on a little street in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they owned a double lot. They had a house on one of the lots, and they had an empty yard on the other one. They had a fence around it, and there's chickens in that fence. And when they got ready to have some chicken and dumplings and some fried chicken or something like that, guess what? They went out there with an axe, and they got a chicken. And the axe wasn't laid to the root of the tree. It was laid to the neck of the chicken. And the general process is here, you cut off the head, and then you hang its feet up, and you bleed it. Now, that's Bible. The Bible says that it is wrong to eat blood, and it is wrong to eat any meat of an animal that was strangled to death instead of being bled out. That's in the Bible. That applies not only to the Jews, that applies to the Gentiles. Look in Acts 15. Somebody said, we don't go by the Old Testament. Well, look in Acts 15 and see where Gentiles are supposed to avoid sexual sin. How are you going to figure out what sexual sin is unless you go to the Old Testament? There it is. But sometimes, in the process of decapitating the chicken, the body would get away from the chef. Now they tell me, now I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I have one vague memory of seeing my grandmother on my mother's side. I was a little toddler, and I looked up into the doorway, and the daylight was coming from behind her, and I saw her, and it was etched in my memory. It's the only memory I have of my grandmother on my mother's side. And I never saw it happen, but they tell me that every now and then, the body of the decapitated chicken would get away from the chef and take off running around the yard. Now, I'm just going to say this just as plain as I can. If Jesus Christ tells you to go right and you go left, you're a headless chicken. You can run all you want, but you're headless. At some point, you got to wise up and say, wait a minute, God is smarter than me. I need to listen. The man Christ Jesus has been appointed head of the body. I got to be in the church. I got to straighten up. I got to line up. I got to do right so I won't be headless. Scripture says what God has done in the man Christ Jesus and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now the world says, Jesus is not my Lord. But there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Unfortunately for the world, it will be too late. In their state of damnation, the Bible says it will be everlasting destruction. Eternal damnation. They will finally confess He is Lord, but it will be too late. But to the glory of His praise, He is our head now in all things. I don't buy a house without consulting with my Lord. He's my head. Amen. Brother Greg and Sister Tiffany have been praying for weeks and months. I think they've been shopping for a house probably as long as we did. I think we shopped for a house for about a year and a half. We'd look at a house and we'd say, Lord, is this what you have for us? No? Okay. Nope, we don't want it. This went on month after month after month. The devil likes to come up to you during those times and say, you're just imagining all this faith stuff. God doesn't have anything for you. You just need to take something and be happy with it. Let me tell you something. The whole time we were working to try to find the house that God would speak to us about, God was working to prepare that house. Then, just when the time was right, God brought us to the house and everything was ready to go. So all those months we kept waiting and waiting and waiting. God was just saying, wait till you see what I'm getting ready for you. The Bible says that if you give, it's going to be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? God can bless you through people. Amen. See, I answer to the city government, but my king is far above that. I answer to the county and the state and the federal, but my king is far above that. And my king is king over all things in my life. Car purchases, house purchases, job changes. If I get laid off, he's king over that. Some of you work in jobs where you can be fired without even just cause and have no recourse. It's the day in which we live. Here's the thing. Come what may, car wrecks, firing, laid off, unemployment, legal attacks, my king is still far above. He's far above all powers, principalities, dominions. Look at what it says. He's above all might. He's above all power. He's above every name. I asked the kids at the table today, I said, what if one of man's powers that's above me tells me to go left when God's law says go right? And my kids looked at me and said, you do what God said. And I said, yes, you're right, I do what God said. And what if they try to throw me in jail for disobeying them while I'm obeying God? They said, well, you still obey God. And I said, yes, you're right. And I said, what if they tried to put me to death like is happening right now in some countries? And my kids said to me, you still obey God. And I said, yes, you are right, because our King is far above all powers and principalities and might and dominion. The apostle said it right. We ought to obey God rather than men. I want to ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And the rest of that verse says, speaking of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are a family. When I call you brother, I'm not joking. We are brothers in a family. When I call you sister, that's not just a term. We are family. We are in the household of God. And it says this, speaking of the church, and are built upon the foundation. Remember I said that we're likened unto a building. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Even when we say our dismissal prayer and we disperse to our homes, we are still a habitation for God through the Spirit. He doesn't, yes, He moves in this building when we're here, but it's because we're here. And He's still moving in His church and living in His church even when we're at work. Even when we're home. He better be. Amen. If He's not, you got a problem. If you only live for God while you're in the church building, what are you going to do if He comes for His church when you're not at church? Amen. He's God on Sunday, but He better be God on Monday. Amen. He dwells in the building that is us. And the humanity of Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Amen. And finally, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now we're getting to a scripture where there might be some toes stepped on. He likens the church to a bride. And the man Christ Jesus is the bridegroom. Now I mention this for those of you that were elsewhere in the building Wednesday night. We've been teaching a series on relationships. And we've taught part one, part two, and part three. And we've taught relationships on how to know yourself and love yourself so that you can love others, and relationships in the church. And we've taught on these three installments on relationships, and we're now to part four, talking about the marriage relationship. And I read from the scriptures how that not only are wives supposed to submit to husbands, but husbands submit to wives? It's in the Bible. Amen. I talked about that today with the kids in our family devotion. I told them point blank. I said, let's talk about the powers over me. City, county, state, federal, the church, my wife, God. Now, if my wife and I are in agreement, our mutual submission poses no difficulty. If we're in disagreement, if I side with her in a decision that I think is wrong, I have to answer to God for that. And if she sides with me in a decision that she thinks is wrong, she will not have to answer to God for that. Because the husband is the head. Now, you can call this a conundrum, but I can show you scriptures that say the husband is head over the wife. But I can also show you scriptures that say we're supposed to submit to one another. Oh no, after you. Oh no, after you. Oh no, I insist. No, 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 I insist upon your insistence. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Speaking about husbands and wives, the scripture says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then the scripture turns around and starts talking to the men. And boy, us men need talk to sometimes, don't we? All right. All of the rest of you men that are perfect, that doesn't apply to you. But I'm just being honest. Sometimes I need the Bible to talk to me. Because I'm not right in my spirit and in my attitude. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Men, sometimes we get angry Now, it's not a sin to be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But the problem is that when you get angry, it's very easy to sin while you're angry. And what are we angry over? Stupid stuff. Thank you, Brother Claypool. Praise the Lord for an honest amen. I said, what are we angry over? And Brother Claypool said, stupid stuff. Most of the time, that really nails it right there. Let me tell you, there was one place in the Bible where the Lord caused this gourd to come up and shade the prophet. And then the Lord took it away and the prophet got all mad. And the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry over the gourd? Listen to his response. This is a typical man. He says, I do very well to be angry over the gourd, even unto death. Amen. Men, just replace the word gourd with whatever it is you're on about. Maybe it's dinner. Maybe it's a bush in the yard. Maybe it's something one of your kids broke. Whatever it is, the Lord is saying to you, doest thou well to be angry over, fill in the blank. Sometimes we're just like, who was it? Jonah? I think it was Jonah with the gourd situation. We're like him. Yes, Lord, I do well to be angry about it, even unto death. Sometimes I think the Lord's saying, that can be arranged. It's not a sin to be angry, but it's very easy to sin while you're angry. I should know. I've been angry a lot. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What do we have here? The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The scripture says, yea, for a good man, one might dare to lay down his life for a good man. But God commendeth his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was not worth it. You were not worth it. What if the Lord treated us like we treat our wives? What if he said, you're not worth it? Yeah, there's crunching of toes now. The Lord Jesus loved us in such a way as that when we did not deserve it, when we did not warrant it, he still went to the cross and died for us. Now, I promise you, your wife is far more deserving of your love than the church was of Jesus' love. And the model of how he loved us is how husbands are supposed to love their wives. Now, folks, that is the tall order. I know some people think the Bible lays a heavy load on women by saying that they have to submit to their husbands. But the tall order is that I, as a normal human being who has been redeemed and by the help of God, have to find within him the grace so that I can love in the way that Jesus loves the church. The challenge of being a man in Christianity is not just finding a way to show up to church. The challenge. Men like a challenge, right? Yeah! Give me a challenge! What is the challenge? Are you raising your kids as Christians? Are you treating your wife right? Oh, this is some straight preaching. We're chowing on some steak now. Pass the steak sauce. Yes, they do. Why is it that children of drug abusers grow up to be drug abusers? Why is it that children of alcoholics grow up to be alcoholics? Why is it that children of abusers grow up to be abusers? We emulate what we see. It's time for the cycle to be broken. It's time for the redemption of God to bring a change. You say, I don't know if I have it in me. I know you don't have it in you. The good news is, it's all in Him. He has it in Him. If you get in Him, you get it in you. Some people want to go through and name a laundry list of what's wrong with their spouse. Now, I'm not saying everything, but almost everything on those kinds of lists would disappear if you just loved them with a godly love. Watch what the love of Jesus does to the church, which when He died for us was nothing but just filthy sinners. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I'm not adding to the context. Look at the next verse. So ought men to love their wives. The message is clear. Look at what the love of Jesus did to the church. What would your love do to your wife if you loved her with a godly love? I'll tell you what would happen. She would blossom and she would become all those things that you're griping that she's not. Because it's in Him. And if you get in Him and therefore it's in you, then she can get in Him and therefore it will be in her. The good news is, through Him, you can be more than the sum of your parts. You can be more than the sum of your intellect, your upbringing, your genetics. Now that's good news for me. See, the devil wants to lie to me and say, your dad was genetically predisposed to despair and depression and killed himself, and you're him genetically. I can look at the devil and say, it doesn't matter if I'm him genetically or not. In Christ, I'm more than my genetics. I thought about singing as a closer that old song, It's All in Him, because it fits so well with the message. But then I thought of a better song, Victory in Jesus. Victory. It's not in me, it's in Him. It's victory in Jesus.
Let me interrupt there right before I concluded the message by singing that old hymn, Victory in Jesus. And God certainly moved powerfully in the altars that night. Amen. We encourage you to go to our website and download part one of this message in case you missed it. Again, the web address is www.cac.us.com. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church. We're oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.